Do I have to point out that two preachers yesterday preached over 40 minutes? Down in North Carolina, they say, I don't want to be ugly. Listen, I'm such a long-winded preacher, I was in 92 churches last year.
Amen.
Brother Gipp, he's a good friend of mine, been around for since Abraham Lincoln was president. I opened up his prayer letter 2 days ago. He was, you know, hurt. In fact, he was only in 16 churches in 2020. He got wiped out with COVID. Dr. Ruckman used to talk about being one of God's spoiled children. I was in 92 churches. This is my 36th church this year. I'm very spoiled. I give God the credit for that. Eight men in this room I've preached for or am preaching for this year. And seven of them are in the South. And I'm from the North. I'm from New York City. And I'm a ex-Catholic. And I'm in seven Southern pastors' churches in this room. You know, I was in Germany last year as well, and did I ever screw up on the first morning of the camp meeting in Dresden, Germany? Thought it'd be cute to pull Dr. Ruckman's move. All those in favor of gun control, raise your right hand. Half the people jumped out the window, the other half had heart attacks. That's because they couldn't get out the window. I forgot it was against the law to do that in Germany. Amen. By the way, we're talking about Yankees a lot yesterday. Let me explain the difference between in Southern culture and Yankee culture. You want to know the difference?
Yeah.
A Southerner can be patting you on the back while he's planning your funeral. Bless your heart, you know. I know, I live in Tennessee. I'm married to a girl in Virginia, from Virginia. They don't call it the Deep South for nothing. Let's put it that way. And a Yankee, he can walk into a cancer ward and say, what's eating you, bub? So that's what that guy said to Brother Coley, you know. Hey, you know, come in there and laid it out to him. Hey, amen. Praise the Lord. You got your Bibles, hang on to them. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's word that I'll get to later on. I want you to stand up and give you a seventh inning stretch. I'm going to preach a very unusual message this morning. By the way, I appreciate these dates. I was paying attention to them. Brother Drummond, you got in March of 74, and Brother McCarty got in October 74. Anybody else saved in 1974 in here? I was saved in August 74. That was a great year. And by the way, Brother Carter, that was a great message. I mean, you know, we compliment each other all the time and don't mean it half the time. You know that. Brother, that was a great message. You know what the guy preached on. I was surprised. That was a good message. I'll tell you something else that come out of Vietnam. The most famous photograph from the war, second most famous photograph was that Vietnamese officer shooting that guy in the head. The number one photograph was that poor little girl running down the street with her skin ripping off her body from the napalm. That picture went around the world in 24 hours. It closed the war. They ended the war with that photograph. That's what they say. I've been in that young girl's home twice. Talking about something good come out of a disaster. That girl got saved. And she's been all around the world giving her testimony. She goes to the largest independent Baptist church in Canada. In Ajax, Ontario, Canada. Kim Pook. Her husband got saved. He was a communist. Hey, he's got more sense than some of you. He's got all my books. It's what he told me, amen. I've got him in. I don't mean I got him in, but I got him into Rick Sal's church and Brother Godano's church, kind of like one of her booking agents, in a good way. How about that? Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. I'm going to read you something. I want to preach this morning, and I'm stuck, amen. I can't go over because it's 1 o'clock, and that's eating time, amen. I'll lose you for sure at one. But I'm going to I want to preach on this message, the sermon that saved my wife's life. Literally, saved my wife's life. Let me read you something out of this book given by inspiration. This is in the chapter called Nuggets from the English, and this is entitled Austin 3:16. Following in the spirit of Jim, I'm letting you stand for your stretching because you know you want to stand if you prefer for a little exercise. Following in the spirit of Jim Carrey's Bruce Almighty, the pagan professional wrestler Stone Cold Austin adopted the promotional moniker Austin 3:16 as a mockery of John 3:16. What this blasphemer didn't know, however, is that the Bible contains more than one salient 3:16. If I'm not mistaken, the very subject of this book deals with one. This is called Given by Inspiration. In addition to 2 Timothy 3:16, about inspiration, a sample of seven others would include Genesis 3:16, where the relationship between husband and wife is established. Matthew 3:16, where the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:16, where the saint is declared to be within the believer. Colossians 3:16, the most important New Testament verse on music. 1 Timothy 3:16, the greatest proof text on the deity of Christ. And this is a wild one. This is going to throw some of you fundamentalists out the window. 2 Peter 3:16, containing a secondary latent warning in reverse for tribulation saints that resting Pauline passages on eternal security from their church age context could result in their own destruction. And that's a little deep for some of you, but ask some of the Bible believers after the service. They'll explain that one. And finally, Revelation 3:16, where the Lord's ultimate indictment on Laodicea and end day apostasy is given. I will spew thee out of my mouth. COVID's broke out up in heaven. My wife's a nurse. She'll tell you lukewarm water induces vomiting. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you, and I pray that you'll give us a blessing now from this 3:16 business and help us to be edified, encouraged, and strengthened for what's ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to tell you about another 3:16 that I missed. And now this PA, the devil's messing with it. I guess you can tell that now. But I wrestled like crazy about what to preach on this morning. Absolutely like crazy. I have a new book I'm working on. I was so wanting to give you some new material from that, but the Lord just pressed this on me. So that's a good sign that the Lord wants to do something. I want to tell you about another 3:16 that I missed, but one that absolutely found me. 2020 was a rough year for a lot of people, wasn't it? You know, in 92 churches, you see a lot of tragedy and heartache. How many of you know someone that died from COVID? Let me see here. And that's how many know more than one person? Isn't that something? Many of you have had it. Others of you know some folks that were sick unto death. Brother Lutrick was a good example. And everywhere I've preached for people that have died, after I'd been there, and folks that were dying when I got there. And I was in a church in Palmyra, New York on Valentine's Day this year. And a man told me after the service, he said, I preached on suffering that morning. He said, he come up to the book table, big old dude, about half scared me. And he said, Brother Grady, my daughter died 1 year ago today, Valentine's Day a year ago, died in her bed with her two children next to her, died of a heroin overdose. All night, the two children, under 10, in the bed with their dead mother. And then he said, I never shed one tear all year until this morning. Man caught me out at the doorway. He said, Brother Grady, I know a lot about tears. I've buried a wife and two children recently in three separate incidents. A lot of suffering out there in 2020 with COVID and everything else. My wife had a particularly rough time. Her mother turned 90 years old in March the 9th. She's in an assisted living facility in Delaware, lifetime Delaware resident, didn't want to move to Tennessee to be with us, had great pensions from working for the state of Delaware her whole life with her husband, so she's in a good facility. But my wife got in to see her for her 90th birthday, and the next week they shut all the visitation down. That's when the COVID just got in, so she just got in under the radar. So the rest of the year, we were like biting our nails and wondering how long it was going to be before they lift the restriction to see people. We've all been through that. And, long story short, right before Christmas, a COVID thing hit that facility, and she got it. And within a week, she had a stroke, and we were packed up and heading out there to see her. And I'm praying all the way that they'll allow my wife to see her. She had a do not resuscitate on the will, and she stopped eating and drinking, so they put her in a hospice wing. And sure enough, you men out there, your wives are going to need you to be able to get through to God sometime for them. I mean, you know, a lot of times God won't answer the prayers we ask Him for, but if it's possible to get through, you better be able to get through for them. And I was really burdened. I mean, I heard enough weird stories of people saying goodbye to loved ones on a computer screen. You know, that's crazy. Sure enough, the state of Delaware just lifted it if you're on a a hospice, a dying deal that they'll let one person in. So we showed up there in Delaware, got a hotel, I don't know, a week before Christmas, and my wife got in to see her. I got in to see her the next day, or the same day I got in, and then the next day I went out to preach someplace. And anyway, to cut out a lot of the details for time, I'm coming and going, preaching in West Virginia, preaching up in Michigan, preaching over in North Carolina, going out and coming back. My wife's sitting there. 2 days before Christmas, she passed away in the middle of the night. In the mercy of God, my wife was visiting her every day for 4 hours a day, and hazmat suit and all that kind of stuff, And I don't hardly ever give most of a message to a testimony, but the Lord has really impressed me to do this. And I didn't put any of this on Facebook. I'm a real private, old school kind of person, But my grandkids leaked it out to everybody, but I don't do it. We're all different. And we got 2 days before, 24 hours in a day. My wife's mother passed, 90 years old, passed away when my wife was sitting right next to her. And it's 4 hours out of every 24-hour day. You see how the Lord did that? He allowed her to pass when my wife was sitting right next to her. And my wife was a nurse. So she didn't just, notice, she's gone. She could tell when she was beginning to breathe the last breaths. And was able to hold her hand and play music on her phone to her, the whole thing. And just be with her when she passed. And that was the great mercy of God. And so anyway, I was someplace preaching. I was in Michigan. I was in my 87th, 88th, 89th, 90th, and 91st church of the year in Michigan. Five churches in a row. Came down back to Delaware on New Year's Day, fighting with the drunken drivers. That was a wild, Mr. Toad's wild ride. And we spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day together in a Hampton Inn there in Dover, Delaware. And then, long story short, I took off more preaching meetings, and she stayed there for a week making funeral arrangements. And then we were all ready to have the funeral, but we had to get tested for COVID from the funeral director. And believe it or not, we both flunked the test, meaning we both got positive, and both were told we had COVID. Had to cancel the funeral, bury the body, postpone things. So we had a memorial service in Brother Gary Manarese's church in Easter Saturday weekend. But to put all that off. But here's the crazy. I was booked to preach right here. I was booked to preach here the first Sunday of the year. And I had to cancel this. And Brother Pell City, Alabama, Brother Wood, I was scheduled to preach for him Sunday night. Had to cancel it. And anyway, but my wife, she was sick. I was okay. But she was like moderate sick, I'm going to beat this thing at home. And I didn't have a sniffle. I was perfectly okay. A week and a half earlier, in one church up in Michigan, I remember having chills, in the parking lot for 30 seconds. And that's the only symptom I even seen. Long story short, I went out, took off to preach, and she was at home with our live-in daughter, watching after her, live-in married daughters at our home for the moment, and looking after her. And everything was okay. But I'm down in Texas running around and preaching for Brother over there at Shady Acres, and I was in Amarillo, and I was in somewhere else. Long story short, my wife went to the hospital to check herself out because she started dipping down low, and then they found out she had pneumonia, and they gave her some strong antibiotics and sent her home. Still okay now. Well, praise the Lord. I'm fine. Oh, 4 or 5 days later, and I'm compressing this story for time because I really want to get to something that the Lord used to turn this whole thing from darkness to light. Long story short, she took a nosedive bad out of nowhere. And I'm in Natchitoches, Texas. I remember where I was at the time, and got the news. They rushed her back to the hospital in the ER, found out she had double pneumonia now. She had blood clots all over the place. And her oxygen had dropped down to 84. How many of us have almost become, nurses and doctors, the last year? Stuff we've learned, right? The oxygen at 84 is not good. My wife's got some high blood pressure issue, not a lot. Married to me, duh. And 69 years old. Man, it all of a sudden looked weird. I'm married 46 years. Never had any problems with my wife's health like that. How did your year go? I don't know how many texts I sent back and forth to Texas, brother, to Mrs. Lutrick. So many of you did the same thing, trying to hang in there, help her hang in there. Well, all of a sudden, I'm driving down the road in Nacogdoches, Texas. I just saw the sign, "Welcome to Nacogdoches." And I just left Houston, and I was shook up. And I don't mind telling you, I was crying, and slobbering and praying and trying to keep my eyes on the road and all frustrated. And then all of a sudden, off to the right, I saw a big old, and I'm no charismatic, I'm an ex-Catholic. I'd be a Jehovah's Witness before I'd be a charismatic, honest. And right off to the side of the road, I like that story about the money in the can, though. You tell too many of those stories, though, people will cross that at you. Did you ever notice that? I heard a preacher in Canada say one time that Moses came down from the mountain with those tablets, and his face was shining. And the preacher said, Moses messed up. He said the tablets he got from the Lord was for the people, but the revelation from God was just for Moses. He should have kept that mask up on her. I've told some wild stories 10 times wilder than that one, and people looking at me like that when I'm all done. I don't tell too many of them anymore, but I believe that was the Lord. Some have entertained angels unaware. Anybody want to testify about angels? So, all right, now I'm no charismatic, but all of a sudden I see this big old billboard, and it says, "Pray for peace." I don't even know what the context, where they were heading. Might have been a liberal idea, pray for peace, right? But then it had a scripture verse on it. And I read it, looked at it, and I'm driving. I'm already having a hard time seeing the road, you know, keep crying. And I saw that, so I whipped my Bible out and started looking at, you know, trying to find the verse in the Bible. And when I found it, I almost ran off the road when I read it. It was another 3:16. And God gave it to me to help me that day. I want to show it to you. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And you're going to need the Lord sometime. And you might have 46 years when your wife doesn't have a hiccup. Next thing you know, she's going to be hanging in there and maybe on the way out. You don't know what God's going to do. There's but a step between me and death. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Holy mackerel. And I got looking at that, and God gave me more truth in just a few seconds there. First of all, number one, note like the rapture, it says the Lord himself. The Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout. You get those crazy mid-tribulation rapture people, you know, the Andersonites and all that, jumping around at Matthew 24:31, calling that the rapture of the church. That's when the Lord gathers Israel. He sends his angels there to gather them. When it comes to us, he comes down himself. And the deal with peace comes from the Lord himself, brother. And number two, he is the Lord of peace. Look at that. Now the Lord of peace himself. Hey, he's the top enchilada when it comes to peace. Amen right there. He's totally in charge. Number three, the peace that he gives to you when you need some peace is his own peace. Turn to John 14 real quick. John 14. I'm a telling you, neighbor. That's what they say in Tennessee. I'm a telling you, neighbor. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be..." Sean Hannity's verse, amen. I had a preacher in Long Island that gave Sean Hannity a copy of What Hath God Wrought in a book signing Hannity had. Isn't that funny? "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace that he gives you is his peace. Now back to 2 Timothy 3:16 real quick. I said it's the Lord himself. I said he is the Lord of peace. The peace he gives you is his own. And number four, I like this. This is going to help somebody. And this is all going through my mind as I'm, you know, slobbering along the highway there in Texas. I wrote it all down. Number four, the peace that he gives, if I stutter, that's my Joe Biden impersonation. I don't know if I tell you. Notice it says he gives you peace how often? Always. Now, you know, I'm saved 46 years. Isn't it great how you can keep hearing new things all the time that'll bless you? I heard a preacher say something the other day. I don't think I ever heard it the same way he said it. As simple as it could be, but it blew me out of the water. He said, every time you're facing a storm, you can see a storm coming a lot of times. When you see that storm coming, you can be, if you're saved, and half right with God, try it. You can be sure of two things. Either one, he'll calm that storm before it hits you. Or two, he'll calm you as you go through that storm. You're guaranteed one or the other. So why panic? Anybody remember Mad Magazine? Who, me panic? Remember that little guy? No, me worry. Number five, the great secret of the truth is the end of the verse. The Lord be with you all. That's why you can't lose. That crazy Jesse Jackson, you can't lose with the stuff I use, he said. You can't lose when you're saved because the Lord's always with you. Now, anybody remember Willard Thomas? Wasn't he always a blessing? First time I saw Willard Thomas was at the camp meeting there in Brother Estep's place. The craziest thing I ever saw. And listen, we were good friends, he and I. Matter of fact, he had me write the foreword to his last poetry book. I mean, he's friends with a lot of good preachers. But don't tell, I mean, he knows now. That Footprints poem, and you know, there was a lot of controversy going on the internet. Who wrote this poem? There's people, lawsuits, people fighting over who wrote that thing. And a lot of folks have a feeling and understand, and Willard has shared, that he wrote an original outline of that years ago that's been tweaked a little bit, but he really had the core of it. And but he never. Somebody said no telling what could be done for God if people didn't care who got the credit. We've heard that, so he never gave a flip about that. And that who hadn't seen that Footprints poem? And what a blessing it was. But now he knows it isn't right. Isn't it funny how God will use crazy things we do? What do you mean it ain't right? I don't know. Did you ever read the 23rd Psalm? It's the most popular scripture in the Bible. And yea, though I through the valley, there ain't no big wilder time than dying. You're going to have to, he don't carry you. You walk through that valley. But I'm with you, he said. He'll walk right alongside you, but ain't no one set of footprints. It's still, I'm sorry. I like the thing. I got a copy of it somewhere with all my other religious trinkets in my house. I got one somewhere. It's two footprints in that valley. What's the difference if he's carrying you or if he's right next to you? He's with you. I'm telling you, neighbor, he's with you. Then, number six, the main thought of the message that God gave me on that highway was this. I want you to see the divine double emphasis. The divine double emphasis, like a free gift of God. Look at verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself, right? Give you peace. What's the next word? Always, right? What's the next three words? By all means. He knows we're Baptists and we're thick-headed, and he wants you to get it. He said, I'm going to give you peace always, by all means. Amen. Now, because I believe in studying for sermons and books and everything else, I looked up that expression, by all means. It's an idiom in the English language. It entered the English language in the 1500s. And the definition of that phrase, by all means, is that it's an idiom to encourage one to accept another's offer. Are you sure it's not an imposition? I mean, are you sure I can come over and have a meal with you? By all means. You know the expression. It's meant to emphasize, yes, yes, yes. God says, of course I'm going to give you peace. By all means I'm going to give you peace. And listen, God could have just said always. But by all means. But you know what? I'm one of them guys that tries to find stuff God hadn't even seen. You ever see them spooky guys? So I'm always looking. There's got to be something deeper here. So I looked at Ruckman's commentary. And you know what he said at that verse? He said, verse 16 is self-explanatory. Thanks for nothing, amen. And so, forget all the idiom and emphasize, I decided to take the obvious route. By all means. What do you mean the obvious route? I think that means, among other things, the Holy Spirit will use all means to give you His peace. So let me illustrate in the time that I have left what God did for me on that road to Texas, in Texas, when my wife's life was hanging like this. Number one, about 20 minutes later, I was crying in my soup again. I mean, I saw that first billboard, looked it up and got thinking about all this stuff. It felt real good. Within 20 or 30 minutes, I was depressed again. Anybody ever been there? So by all means, I happened to look up Pastor and Brother Saul's. Pray for him. He heard this sermon in his church last Sunday morning. That guy at the end, it doesn't look excited right now. He drove an hour here to hear the same sermon he just heard. I'm going down the road. About 20, 25 minutes later, I'm depressed. I look up there on the left side of the road. There's the same billboard I just saw over here 20 minutes ago. Pray for peace with the same verse up. But watch, on the other side, exactly across the highway where the other billboard had been on this side, there's another big sign. This one said, feeling down with a big question mark, look up. Hey, the God of peace himself is going to give you peace by all means. If you're close enough to him, let him help you. I'd say he'd say let him help you, but he's a northerner, amen. The sides of the north, can't you read your Bible? By now, text messages are dinging on my phone. I sent a few requests out for prayer to some people. I told you I didn't put it on Facebook. But all of a sudden the messages are coming and praying. Got a message from a lady in Texas. Her life's filled with heartaches. I couldn't go into all the heartaches she's dealing with right now. But I know I wrote down what she said. Just a little line. Okay, before the throne, .. Isn't it nice to have people you can get a hold of? Boy, I checked into some hotel an hour later, and the next morning, my wife's like this. Next morning, I got into the breakfast line, COVID, we have to wait to be served, and I went a little like a long line here, and waiting, and I'm humming, na 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 na, na 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 na. Guy in front of me just turns around and says, are you humming a hymn? I said, yes, a mansion over a hilltop. He starts singing, I'm satisfied. you see, guess what by all means means in the Greek? He told me he's a song leader in some Baptist church. There's more Baptist churches and Baptist people in Texas than people. We came through the line. He made me sit at the table with he and his wife. We ate and fellowshiped and held hands and prayed for my wife. Amen. Then we got to in Amarillo, the big Texan restaurant. You all know that one. You get the 72-ounce steak free if you eat the thing. So I'm in there with a church, Charity Baptist Church, a whole table full of people, running from left to right. I'm at the end of the table, and the pastor's right across from me, Brother Hickam over here, me here, and there's the end of the table. And everybody's happy and fellowshipping, and I'm joking with everybody. I said, by the way, I didn't show you this. My wife and I, we send each other these little cute pictures, emojis or whatever they call them. She sends them to me. I don't say. If a man sends that kind of stuff to people, something wrong with you. But long story short, my wife sent me one of these right in the middle of this thing, said, I'm sick, just laying there in a bed. That tore me up because I married up. And I'm an older man, and now I realize how much I've married up. Older men wake up at the end. Amen. And then she sent me this one. This one got me, Mrs. Wood. Little thing. It said, pray for me. This is her and I back and forth, you know. It's tearing me up bad. So then, this is the message I sent to her at that table at the restaurant. I said, I'm really praying for you, really with big letters, while I'm carrying on at the restaurant, goofing off with everybody, hiding my burden for God's glory. That's just me and her talking. Now, I don't know if I've ever gotten anything sweeter in my 46 years of marriage than my wife's response. She said, leave me in God's hands, honey. Meaning, you just do your preacher job. I'm okay. So guess what happens? And by all means, here comes a strolling troubadour. You know, you're the Mexican restaurants with the cow, you know, the Mexican hats on. Well, this is Amarillo, Texas. That cowboy comes over. Guns, you know, cowboy hat with a guitar, doing requests. This guy, this hillbilly way down at the end of the table yells, how, from our group, Wabash Cannonball. Now, I really need to hear Wabash Cannonball. So the guy's playing right here. I'm sitting right here. He's playing Wabash Cannonball with a mask on, his truth, and a cowboy hat on. But I'm hurting. The Lord knows that. The preacher right in front of me has no clue. He says to the guy, can you play How Great Thou Art? He don't know I was called to preach on that song. My favorite hymn. Are you kidding? I flipped out. I about flipped out, brother. How do you make up stuff like that? How are you going to make up something like that? I think it'd do anything for you, but it was shaking me up bad. By all means. You got the idea, don't you? Now, I'm at the end of the message. This is the main thing I want to say. Preacher, you said something about a sermon saved your wife's life. Yes, it did. Now, here's the best part I can tell you. Well, am I doing good on time? Here's the end of the message. God gave me some insight somewhere in the process of all this heartache hanging by a thread, not knowing which way it was going to go. He opened my mind to a couple scriptures. Now, I'm going to tell you this. When it happened, I was like this. After the fact, he's let me loosen up a little bit, you know, and I can, I don't want to say laugh about it more, but I can lighten up and so I can help you with it. But it wasn't like that when it was going on. I'm going to be honest. All of a sudden, the scripture came into my mind in Ecclesiastes, why wilt thou die before thy time, right? I got to thinking, and the Lord let me see this. All of a sudden, something struck me, and I said, in the middle of my prayer time somewhere, I said, Lord, wait a minute. Somebody's got something messed up here. You're telling me my wife is going to die possibly earlier than she might would have? She's dying all of a sudden. Now, dying before time. Because she went into a COVID wing and a hospice wing to visit her dying mother, to honor her mother, that's where she caught the COVID from, and she's going to die early from having honored her wife, her mother. Wait a minute. I thought you're supposed to honor your mother and your father that thy days may be. Somebody got something messed up here. You remember that? So what do you mean one of your sermons saved you? I've got that sermon called Are You As Smart As a Fifth Grader? Or Lessons from a Praying Demon. How those Brother Ellis quoted one of the thoughts the other day about the devil's got their prayers answered. Am I right? Amen. Don't torment us. Don't send us out into the deep and let us go into the pigs. They got all three of them answered. I got seven principles of prayer that those devils followed. The second principle was they prayed scripturally. Art thou come to torment us before the time? You know what Jesus said? Okay, you got me on that one. Guess what? He likes us to pray the same way. That's called being bold. And so I started telling the Lord, wait a minute, you can't take her out early. She's supposed to live longer before honoring her wife. The Lord let me see that. I'm not so smart, I outsmarted God. He let me see that so I can have my faith strengthened. And so you know what he said? He said, you got me. And you know what? You may not believe this, but in 24 hours, she made a U-turn on that hospital. I mean, like a black preacher would say, she did a muchly U-turn. I'm telling you, neighbor, she was home in 3 days with oxygen tanks at the house. And she's fit as a fiddle tonight.
Amen.
You know, we're out of time. But let me ask you this. How was your year in 2020? You know, about a week later, I had to go to her mother's home, nursing home, pick up all the personal effects of her mother, you know, cleaned everything out. And as I was pulling out of the nursing home with all the stuff my mother-in-law had and everything was done, you know, I'm pulling out of the parking lot and the Holy Spirit said, you ungrateful bum, you just pulling out of here, don't you realize all the things I did for your wife's mother the whole time she's been in here, about 7 years? I mean, the lady that got us set up, the final room, her name was Sarah. That's our daughter's name. And my mother-in-law had 7 years of perfect care. It was wonderful. Even the very beginning, my mother-in-law didn't want to be in there. You have loved ones like that, you know, didn't like the idea of it. She's walking in. Look, my mother-in-law's name, Elsie Campbell. She's walking into the nursing home with my wife on her arm, and I'm behind my wife like that. We come into the place, Brookdale, Dover, Delaware, and a little lady sitting right next to a fish tank, right there, like almost like a greeter. And she says, hi, my name is Elsie Campbell. What's your name? Same name as my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law looked at her and thought she was looking at an angel. And the Lord did stuff like that for 7 years. And you know what I did? I hit the brakes, put it in park, bowed my head in that parking lot, and thanked God for all that he'd done for my wife's heart, giving her mother-in-law good care. And let me ask you a question. How was your 2020? God take care of you this year? I don't know. You know what? What do we do now? We run to eat? Maybe somebody wants to thank God for what he did. I saw people starting. Let's stand to our feet. God, do something extra special for you in 2020. Why don't you slam on your brakes for just a moment. Why don't you slam on your brakes and thank him for it, you know? And think about the power of the Word of God and think about how he can give you peace always. And he wants to. He wants to. He's the top enchilada. They're not going to get that in the world, glory to God. I remember at Brother Carter's church last year how some gal from Georgia got it and almost turned the meeting upside down. He had to pray down the will of God. Remember that? They call it CV. Remember that COVID was abbreviated CV-19? I believe that stands for Christ as the vaccine, don't you? By all means. Maybe somebody's got a loved one here that might not have been here. God hadn't intervened. And listen, we can all think of folks that God took, right? He took them because he wanted to take them. Isn't that something? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But why don't you push the envelope, push the buttons and see what you can get? He likes you to corner him. If the devils can do it, why can't you do it? Brother Andrew? By all means. Isn't that something? Amen. You know what Austin 3:16 needs? He needs John 3:16. You know, then we had money, you know. $1,000 I ran up in bills at that hotel. You know what happened? I had some church somewhere sent me $1,000. I had $1,900 in other expenses, food and gas, and I don't know what the heck happened. I remember a church in Missouri sent me I know what it is. I lost those two churches. Couldn't preach in them. I had a preacher send me $1,000. I had $1,900 in Hampton Inn bills and food and car rental bills for my wife. Some pastor in Missouri sent me $2,000. Had a $6,000 cemetery bill come in. You know, I had a church in Elkhart, Indiana, sent me $6,000 without even knowing about the problem. Just come in the mail. Duh. Paul McCartney the other day said he's been talking to George Harrison for several years now, who's dead, you know, talking to him through a tree. I don't know if he's got what we got, brother.